we Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
You know, you hear people say, well, why do you go to that church? So I can be fed. You don't come here so you can be fed. You come here to help man tap and fulfill his vision. That is, if God called you here, you hadn't been called so you can be fed the word. Now, if you get fed in the midst of it, that's good. But you've been called to find your part in bringing this vision to pass in the earth. That's why you've been called to the church. So if you're just kind of sitting around being fed, but not understanding that you have a part to play in this vision coming to pass, that's why God called you. When God calls a person to a church, you're called to that church to help that pastor fulfill that vision.
Well, that's Creflo Dollar, a very famous televangelist, megachurch pastor, Word Faith pastor, and his latest vision, at least as announced recently on his website, is it's going to actually come to about $68 million if they pay full asking price for a private plane. Now, he's already got a private plane, but it's got 4 million miles on it, and it recently had an engine go out, so it's time to replace the private plane for the pastor. Now, that might sound like a strange phrase if you were the average Christian with the average pastor. Some of these guys have never seen a new car, much less a brand new top-of-the-line private plane that seats 18 people and can fly almost the speed of sound. But that's what Creflo Dollar's vision is dictating right now. He wants to raise from his listeners a little more than $65 million for the plane. And they began by saying that they were believing God. That's a common phrase in the Word Faith movement. They were believing God for 200,000 people to give contributions of $300 to turn their dream, their vision, into a reality. Now, he's since changed the wording. They're just asking for a gift of any size. How can this be? How can a purportedly Christian pastor say, I want a private plane and I expect you guys to pay for it? It's part of the dream. It's part of the ministry. It's part of the vision. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, March the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Bob Leko is going to join us here for the first few minutes to talk about Creflo Dollar's recent request for $65 million so he can buy another private jet. Pastor Ted Giese will join us after that. You might have noticed it if you watch television at all. All the promos for all of the, what do we call them, Bible-based programming that is coming out in and around the Easter season. This stuff, apparently, at least the networks think, this is the kind of stuff that gets viewers. That's what their business is. We'll talk about a New York Times story on Bible-based TV shows. Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer will join us. There's been a call in the journal Nature for a moratorium, a temporary halt to what's called DNA editing, or research leading to DNA editing in human beings. We'll talk about bioethical concerns there that even bioethicists and even the researchers, some of them, have. And Pastor Tom Baker will join us in the last half hour. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the widow's mite in Mark chapter 12. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, we know you are many out there. Whenever, wherever you listen, use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about Creflo Dollar and his recent request for donations to purchase a $65 million jet, Bob Leko, former Word Faith pastor himself, co-founder of Discernment Ministries International, based in Detroit. Bob, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Pastor Todd.
I know how I hear this. It makes you laugh a little bit if it weren't so theologically said. How does Creflo Dollar's, how do his faithful, his congregation members, the many people who watch him on television, how do they hear his request?
They don't think this is out of line whatsoever. In fact, as the article spoke about his aging private jet and the problems that they've had, and he shared about how at one point one of the engines went out and they were able to make it in because of the Lord and skilled pilots, and at another time they skidded off a runway, and they've had a lot of problems with his other jet. And so his people no doubt believe that he certainly needs a jet to fly around the world to spread the gospel of, Creflo Dollar primarily. It's certainly not the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we understand it, according to the Bible. But he preaches another gospel, and the people that follow him love that message, and they support it. But when that gets out into the public and the rest of us hear that a pastor is asking for a $65, $70 million jet, that sort of takes us back a little bit. But for his people, they believe he deserves it. He deserves to fly the best, and this is certainly the best airplane out there. It's one of the most luxurious available. And because he is God's man, that he deserves this. He is representing the kingdom of God. And in fact, Creflo, he preaches that type of a message quite often. In fact, I heard him in person in Detroit many years ago at Cobo Arena, and he was sharing the fact that if you are a poor Christian, poor financially, no one is going to be interested in hearing what you have to say. But if you drive up in a Bentley and knock on the door and you want to tell someone about Jesus and you've got a $1,000 suit on, well, they'll listen to you because you have their stuff, and they want to know how to get that stuff, and so they have to know you're Jesus. So for Creflo, Jesus is simply loaves and fishes. And that's why his people would have no problem giving him that type of money. Because they also know it's going to come back to them as they give.
Now, I want to get back to that in a second here, but to kind of summarize this, in other words, they reason thus, Creflo Dollar is anointed by God, he's God's man. That is obvious from the fact that he has so much success. And God would not have him fly coach or even first class or charter a jet like a lot of people would if they want some privacy in their long travels. God wants him going first class all the way, not just Absolutely. To borrow someone's jet, but to have one of his own paid for and ready to go.
Absolutely, because he is the man of God. I mean, we're just low-wattage Christians, Todd. We're not on that level or that plateau of spirituality that Creflo and Copeland and others have ascended to, that the Lord speaks to them directly. And, we're standing here talking, and the Lord may tell Creflo, hey, jump on your plane and go to Bermuda and witness to Miles Monroe's family, who's still very grief-stricken because his jet crashed, private jet flying off of the island of Bermuda. So things like that happen in their lives where that would not happen in our lives. And so he needs access to a private plane. And quite frankly, he's only worth $23 million himself, and so there's no way he's going to be able to float that kind of loan. And because this is the Lord's work, it shouldn't come out of his pocket. It should come out of the free will offerings of God's people. And you know what? I bet he gets the money, too.
What was that part, then, about they also believe that if they give to this, they're going to get it's going to come back to them? How does that work in word faith theology?
Oh, absolutely. Jesus said, give and it shall be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken over, running over. Men will give back into your bosom. We used to cite Proverbs, cast your bread on the water, and what, after many days, it will come back to you. So we were constantly being told that if we give, and when we give, not if, excuse me, when we give, the Lord will reward our faithful giving by multiplying that back either 30, 60, or 100-fold, depending upon our level of faith at that point. If we've grown to 30% or 60-fold or 100-fold faith. Well, that just depends, but the Lord will bless it. So if I send Creflo that $300, you know, I'm pretty sure of a good return on my investment. Maybe $600, maybe $9, maybe $12, who knows? And so that encourages people to give. And they really do believe in the man. There's that level going on, too.
Now, you said something there. You corrected yourself. You said not if, but when.
Yes.
And
yes.
Why is that so important? And speaking there kind of tongue-in-cheek as someone who believes such things, which you don't, why is that when, not if kind of distinction so important in the framework of the word faith theology?
Oh, it's everything. It's everything, Todd, especially if you were a member of Mr. Dollar's congregation. Let me read a quote from what he has to say about giving and tithing. When they built his church in Atlanta, he was saying this: we're all under the blood of Jesus, so we can't shoot and stone people like we used to. All we have to do is repent, and God will forgive us and take us where we need to be. But I can tell you, man, if it wasn't for the blood, there'd be a whole lot of us being stoned and being in hell right now over the tithe. But because of the blood of Jesus, we're not doomed. I mean, I thought about this when we built the dome. I wanted to put some of those little moving bars and give everyone a little card. They'd stick it in the computer slot. If they were tithing, beautiful music would go on, you know, and Creflo sings, "Welcome, welcome, welcome to the World Dome." Congregation laughs. But if they were non-tithers, the bar would lock up. A red and blue light would start going. A siren would go off and a voice would go out throughout the entire dome. Crook, crook, crook. The congregation laughs. Security would go and apprehend them. And once we got them all together, we'd line them up in front and pass out Uzis by the ushers and point our Uzis right at all those non-tithing members, because we want God to come to church. And at the end of three Jesuses, we'd shoot them all dead. And then we take them out the side door, and they have a big hole and bury them. And then go ahead and have church and have the anointing. Very few people laugh then. But that was his statement as a pastor to his people about not the tithers, that they're going to go to hell and that they should actually, well, he was probably tongue-in-cheek, but should be gotten rid of.
Bob Lico is our guest. We're talking about Atlanta-based Word Faith pastor Creflo Dollar. Recently in the news because he has requested $65 million from his believers all over the place, at least $65 million, to purchase a brand new private jet. Let's talk a little bit about if we could, Bob, before we go to our break, let's talk a little bit about Creflo. What's his place in the Word Faith pantheon of superstars?
Well, he is, according to Kenneth Copeland, Mr. Copeland refers to him as his son in the gospel. And he probably will take Copeland's place when he departs this mortal coil. He's a lot younger than Copeland and Duplantis and Savelle and some of the other Word Faith people out there. So I think he's going to be the heir apparent to the Word of Faith mantle, dubious as it is. He and Copeland have continued to preach the same thing they've always preached since the 70s. Regardless of the controversy and the exposures and, you know, all the criticism of their doctrine, he has never wavered. And so I believe he's going to be the person that's going to be on top of that specific thrust of enthusiasts within the church.
So he is the heir apparent to, if we grant that Kenneth Copeland is kind of the father, the godfather of the whole movement, not the grandfather, but certainly the father of the whole movement right now. He's the son, ready to inherit it all.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Copeland has a son named John, but John is nowhere to be seen in the same leagues as Ken or Creflo. He's not even a good comparison. You had Oral Roberts and then Richard took over. Richard was a little better than, you know, a little closer to his dad. John Copeland is no replacement for Kenneth, so you're not going to see him replacing Kenneth. So yeah. I'm pretty sure it would be Creflo. And for the women, I believe it'll probably be Joyce for now. She's kind of getting up there. She's getting a little old in the tooth as well. But I think on the female side, it'll be Joyce and is Joyce currently. And that's Joyce Meyer, of course, for the listeners.
What are you likely to hear if you were to attend Creflo Dollar Church in Atlanta, or if you watched him on TV, wherever he's broadcast?
Well, probably the main thing that he teaches, which is common for all of the Word of Faith people, and he has never, as I say, varied on this point. And this is the main thing, Todd, that I really want the listeners to understand. It doesn't matter so much about what you think about finances or how a pastor should live or those things. They're important, but they're not central. He's wrong on the very central aspect of the gospel, and that is, who is Jesus? If you get Jesus wrong, I don't care what you get right. And Creflo does not preach, teach, or believe in the biblical Jesus. So if you go to his church, what are you going to hear? You're going to hear that Jesus didn't come as God, but as a man. He didn't come as perfect. He grew into that perfection. Some people might say, well, no, Jesus came as God. And Creflo responds, well, how many of you know the Bible says that God never sleeps nor slumbers? And yet in the book of Mark, we see Jesus asleep in the back of a boat. So how could he be God? And this is what he teaches. And these people nod their heads sagely and go, amen, brother, yes. And so what are you going to hear? You're going to hear another gospel. You're going to hear another Jesus. And you're going to receive another spirit. The man is not a Christian. His church is not a Christian church. They are a cult. And they're to be avoided at all costs. Don't be deceived by the words that he uses, because they use the same language that we do. They use the name of Jesus. They talk about the Holy Spirit. They believe the Bible from Genesis to maps. But it's a question of how you interpret and understand the scriptures. So you're not going to hear any law and gospel from Mr. Dollar, that's for sure.
Bob Lico is our guest. He's a former Word of Faith pastor himself, co-founder of Discernment Ministries International, based in Detroit. We're talking about a Word of Faith pastor based out of Atlanta. You probably know his name, Creflo Dollar, asking his true believers for $65 million to buy a jet. We'll be right back.
Forget the price. Ain't never been there. They tell me it's nice. I live in hotels, tear out the walls. I have accountants pay for it all.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Vision casting leaders in the church. Differences between men and women. Naturalism. Biblical archaeology. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Bob Lico is our guest, a former Word Faith pastor. We're talking about Creflo Dollar, who is an Atlanta-based megachurch pastor, Word Faith pastor, making a request of his followers for $65 million to buy another, a second private jet. The first one's getting a little worn out for him, and he needs to travel in style. Bob, let's talk a little bit about the other members of the kind of the entourage that we have of the lesser lights in the Word Faith movement. You say that Creflo's been the one that kind of stuck with it. He's the old school. Is that safe enough to say he's old school Word Faith?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
What do we make of other guys who are kind of softer Word Faith?
And well, of course, you know, we I don't mean to cut you off, but I think immediately of course, Joel Osteen. And Joel is kind of an anomaly, and it's been very interesting to watch, with some sadness, of course. But his father was a very well-known Word of Faith preacher and teacher. Was a Baptist minister originally, and began to speak in tongues. And I think the Southern Baptist kicked John Osteen out of the convention, as I remember, and he started his own independent church and grew Lakewood into a very large church, very mission-oriented. And John, for a lot of the common Word of Faith errors, at least did go to a Baptist seminary, and he was able to keep some of the central points of Christianity straight in his own thinking. So he was a lot better than his son, Joel. Joel is the new breed. He is Word of Faith, positive confession, but you know, leaves out sin and hell and damnation that even Copeland and Creflo and these guys will. They'll talk about people going to hell, absolutely. They'll talk about sin. They'll preach the law, no problem. But Joel doesn't do that. And yet he is fully Word of Faith, you know, sheep-dipped Word of Faith guy, no doubt. But he has his own spin on it, and it apparently is very appealing to the masses. And so he's having some effect there.
Now,
so he's, I guess, was a lesser light and has become kind of his own constellation.
He wouldn't, Joel Osteen, mm-hmm. probably would know better than to just come out and say, I need a private jet. You guys are going to pay for it because I got to travel in style because I'm the Lord's anointed. How would he get a private jet?
Yeah, I think Joel has a lot better handlers and is a lot smoother in his delivery as far as what he needs. I don't know how exactly he would go about getting the money. A, he may already have it because he is phenomenally wealthy in and of himself, and plus what he inherited from his father, John, who was wealthy. He could just buy one himself. I don't know. But he would probably talk with his people, but I don't think he would be as blatant as to say, look, you know, we need this. And as Creflo says in classic Word of Faith speak, you know, he knew that it was time to believe God for a new airplane. Notice he says believe God. He doesn't say ask God. And there's a difference. Because if I'm asking my Heavenly Father, Lord, please, you know, give me a Gulfstream jet. Well, he may say yes or he may say no. But if I am activating the force of faith in my heart and I am believing God-like, then I'm going to have what I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth. That's why he doesn't say, well, let's pray and ask the Lord if it's his will to give us a plane. Oh, he knows it's God's will to give him a plane, no doubt. And so he is believing and confessing this into existence, you know, even as he's saying we're going to have 200,000 people give $300. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he finds that many silly people to support this kind of foolishness.
So it's not a difference necessary necessarily between these two kind of leading lights and the word faith movement of theology. It's a difference of approach.
The approach is different, but they both would say that it is the will of God for God's children, all of God's children, to live in luxury, to have more than enough to eat, wear, you know, beautiful clothing, drive nice cars, live in beautiful big homes. That's the will of God. Anything less, we're not living up to what God would have us to have. And so, yeah, they would certainly agree with that. And Joel would have no problem. He'll probably send Creflo $300. You know, I want to get in on that blessing. You know, so these guys, they give money to each other. Copeland gives a plane to Duplantis, and he'll turn around and give a plane to Savelle, who'll turn around and give one to Joyce. And it's all a club. But they'll all support the work. It's amazing.
What about the average person in Atlanta who, as you say, has kind of joined the Creflo Dollar cult, and they go to church there, and they hear him speak, and they see him drive out of the parking lot, if that even occurs, out of the stadium, so to speak, in the finest of automobiles, and they show up with a, you know, 2003 Toyota Tercel. What do they think of themselves?
Well, they look at him and they go, that's my goal. That's the vision. That's the prize that I'm after. And so I'm right here now, but if I am faithful where God has placed me, and I give and I tithe off the gross of everything that comes into my hands to the man of God, and I sow this money in good soil, which happens to be World Changers Church, then God is going to promote me. All I have to do is continue to stand and exercise patience, and one day my change will come. Now, I ran off a little article before we did the broadcast. I thought this was very interesting. 8 black pastors whose net worth is 200 times greater than the folks in their local communities. The first one is Creflo Dollar. His net worth is over 200 times that of his average congregational member. Now, that to me would do something to my thinking. If I'm looking up at the pastor and going, you know, I believe my pastor deserves to, you know, he's a good man and got a family and deserves to be supported and supported well. And I believe that. But then when you look and realize that he's worth 200 times and growing what you are, I would begin to question that as a parishioner myself. You know, there's good and there's really good. 200 times the worth of the average person, that is obscene. I'm sorry, that just is wrong. But that's how they roll, all of them. Same with Joyce, same with Benny Hinn, same with Robert Tilton, Copeland. They all are worth that much more than their followers. And for some reason, their followers, they have been seduced or entranced or something. They believed a lie, and they're willing to bankroll these gospel pimps, frankly. And that's what they are. They're making money off of the people of God, even as the Bible says, there are people that are going to come and make merchandise of you. And that's exactly what these false teachers have done. They've made merchandise of the people of God.
So when these guys, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, you mentioned Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen, when they step out of the back of the limousine at their, and if you look at some of the homes, they make celebrity homes look like, you know, the slums. These are homes that probably are more akin in scale to small mountains than to everybody else, what you think of as a house. When they walk in there every night, do they actually say to themselves, I'm not talking about whether they believe it or not, but do they, according to their theology, say to themselves, I got this because I believed for it and I'm just that faithful?
Yep. I think they honestly believe that. Well, at least they'll tell you and me that if we ask them that question. Now, I don't know their hearts. Only God does. But I don't know how else you could sleep at night. When, you know, I've met a lot of people, Pastor, through Facebook that live in Africa. And they have nothing. I can't see it. How you can go to sleep with so much.
So finally, what's the real danger here? We can talk a lot about the disparity, but what's the real danger of the approach that men like Creflo Dollar take and the message that they preach here with about a minute, Bob?
Well, the danger is, of course, people's eternal salvation. As I say, if you don't get Jesus right, I don't care what you do get right. And he does not preach Jesus Christ crucified for our sins and faith in his work on the cross alone. It's a strange sort of mixture of things that, frankly, are so strange that I can't consider them to be part of the Christian family. That's why I call them a cult. If you believe that Jesus was only a man and not God, you have some real problems. They have issues with the Holy Spirit. They have issues with, the Trinity and where they fall in so many different areas about understanding the person and nature and work of Jesus. So right there is the major problem. I don't care if you dance in the aisles and do, back springs. If you understand and are trusting in Christ alone, of course, if you are, then you probably won't do those things. But if you, those things are on the side, they don't even get the initial things right. And that's my biggest concern, is that people are thinking they're all right with God, that their lives are pleasing to him, and yet they're not, because they're really not trusting in the biblical Jesus and in his work versus their ability to believe something into existence.
Bob Leko is a former Word Faith pastor. He's co-founder of Discernment Ministries International based in Detroit. You will find out more about Discernment Ministries International at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bob, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Ted Giese. Ordinarily, he joins us for a little movie review every week. This time, he's going to join us for his thoughts on a New York Times story about Bible-based TV shows. You've seen the previews for these shows. Some of them are even attempting to tell the story of Jesus' life. We'll see what Pastor Ted Giese thinks right after this.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is a giant poster of Luther's small catechism. It's perfect for display in your home, Christian day school, or Sunday school. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the small catechism giant poster by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, the small catechism giant poster.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30, Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.